Fawcett strode across the polished floor in his monogrammed studs and Wooten opera slippers. "Senators," he said, "I'm so very pleased you could make it." The study was lined from floor to ceiling with beautiful leather-bound books, most of them first editions. The wooden floor was covered by a large oriental rug. The entire space was permeated with the smell of honey. Velvet draperies were drawn tight against the windows, obscuring from view the frigid waters of southern Wisconsin's famed Lake Geneva. The industrialists' eagerly awaited guests sat in two leather club chairs by the fire. Senator Russell Rolander was the first to stand. "Donald, good to see you." The senator stuck out his beefy paw and pumped Fawcett's hand. Rolander and Fawcett had been roommates together at the University of Illinois. Long known as one of Washington, D.C.'s biggest power brokers, Rolander was a ranking member of the U.S. Senate, held a coveted position on the Appropriations Committee, and owned a weekend home down the road from Fawcett's. Slower to rise and shake Fawcett's hand was New York Senator David Snyder. Snyder had scaled the rocky heights of the American political landscape by adhering to a simple mantra: do unto others before they do unto you. He was a master of dirty tricks, and there were few in Washington who had dared cross Snyder's path. A slight man of wiry build and soft features, what Senator David Snyder lacked in physical stature, he more than made up in brain power. That intelligence, coupled with a genius for strategy, had landed him an all but permanent spot on the Senate Intelligence Committee. "Brandy, anyone?" said Fawcett, as he removed a large snifter and decanter filled with the amber-colored liquor. "I'll take one," replied Rolander. "Scotch rocks, if you've got it," said Snyder. "You know, Donald," said Rolander, "we should have all of our meetings in this room. I like it. In fact, this has got to be one of my favorite rooms in the whole house." "What's that smell?" broke in Snyder. He vaguely recognized the scent, but couldn't exactly place it, nor why it was arousing him. "It's honey," said Fawcett. "Technically, it's beeswax. The wood floors are polished with it." The minute Fawcett said the word honey, Snyder knew why the smell was so familiar. Mitchell Conti, or Mitch, as everyone was fond of calling him, had joined Senator Snyder's staff 2 summers ago. He was a strikingly handsome 23-year-old who cut a wide swath, dating numerous female aides and pages. To any outside eyes, Mitch Conti was into women only, but David Snyder knew better. Their affair had lasted for many months. Mitch had been fond of a product known as Kama Sutra Honey Dust. It was a fine powder that smelled and tasted like honey. Mitch would brush it all over Snyder's body with a small feather duster and then lick it off. Not only had David liked it, but so did the many women who shared the senator's bed between visits from Mitch. His half-empty canister of honey dust was Snyder's only reminder of his 23-year-old lover. David Snyder discovered that Mitch had plans to blackmail him. 2 weeks later, Mitch was the victim of a drive-by shooting. His death became, as Snyder knew it would, just another unfortunate statistic in the D.C. crime blotter. David Snyder was impressed with the lengths to which Fawcett would go to get what he wanted. Snyder felt a bizarre sense of camaraderie with the man. Both he and Fawcett knew no limit to their passions, nor to the depths they would descend to force the world to give them what they wanted. "Enough small talk," said Fawcett, looking into his snifter as he swirled his brandy, releasing the sweet metallic vapor. "Where do we stand?" Russell Rolander was constantly amazed at how far Fawcett's sheer force of will and personality had carried his old college roommate. He sometimes wondered what it would be like to have Fawcett's money and power. What would it be like to afford all of his vices with his own money, rather than depending on the steady stream of Fawcett deposits to his Caribbean bank account? Well, if you were going to be in a pocket, he reasoned, it might as well be a deep one.